Hey everybody, in this episode of the Designated Survivor After Show, we're breaking down Season 1, Episode 19, Miss Alliance. What does it say about an episode when the most hilarious thing is when an old man puts his finger in front of the flash for a camera? This is terrible. Episode, let's talk about it. Let's just do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Like, ooh, this is like a new section of the song.
See? Just, yes.
Oh, nice. Same
maybe
dance move.
Same, it's a new section, but same dance move.
I was waiting for a new one, and you just busted it out.
Same dance move. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Welcome to Designated Survivor After Show. We're breaking down every episode of Designated Survivor, airing Wednesday nights on ABC. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
What's up, guys? I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Beam.
What up, everyone? How are we doing this evening? All over the world, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, at TheOnlyMC.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And check out my new blog post, How to Only Fall for Emotionally Unavailable Men, at SextingAndTheCity.com.
Wow, what an enjoyable article. That's so great. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to stay in touch with us, why don't you like us on Facebook? Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Also, hop in the chat. Michael Kloss has got his iPad up and running, which means the chat is up and running. So feel free to share your thoughts about the series in general, this episode in particular, any of the photos that you've seen with Michael Kloss with his shirt off and those rippling abs. He was at Stagecoach, and he was wearing a bandana and no shirt. So
hey, Stagecoach was a blast. First time. Really, really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And no shirts allowed.
When it's 95 degrees outside and sunny, I don't want to get that bad tan.
That's right.
You know, it's easier just to not wear clothes.
All right. He was only wearing a bandana. That was it, folks. He didn't. If that photo had been a little bit lower, he would have been seeing some good stuff. But, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we'd like to do a little bit of Oreo action. Here, we'll just jump right into it. Nothing that exotic and fancy. This is just a sweet golden double stuff.
Wow.
There you go.
Golden double stuff. Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of the golden Oreos, and I'm a huge fan of the double stuff. So you just combined two of my favorite things.
My goodness.
And my third favorite thing is sitting here with you, Frank. So that's like a trifecta.
All right. Sorry, Christine, Renee, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Sorry, my phone didn't need the room.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to be feeding each other.
We're out.
So look at this. A delicious 8-pack provided by the fine purveyors of culinary foods and delights, 7-Eleven. So there you go. Have one, please.
Fancy schmancy.
Pass that down.
Oh, I guess I should grab one as well, too.
Probably take 5.
Yeah, this is...
Start small. Double stuff, your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was respectful because I know Michael Kloss is getting ready for his big Hawaiian adventure and he wants to look ripped and trim.
3 weeks from today.
So, you know, not getting a huge big bag of Oreos to go through because, you know, I care about your abs.
I appreciate that.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's enjoy these.
Cheers.
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 Boom. Did
Oreos,
it.
Oreos.
You know, it's like a solid vanilla ice cream cone from McDonald's. It is just good every time.
Mm.
It's like a bigger version of the little grandma's cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cookie.
Done. I'm done.
Now, these are gluten-free and sugar-free and all that other healthy stuff for Renee, right?
Absolutely. This is like eating celery.
Yeah.
And you're actually burning calories by eating this.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
You know what's better than this? The original Oreo.
I see. Now... this was, you know, I imagine an 8-pack is not that exciting. So I was also at the store today, and I found something else that I just also want to share with us real quickly here. It's an Oreo chocolate candy bar.
Oh, my God. I saw the commercial for that.
There you go. So we can find out what Oreo would be like in a chocolate candy bar. It's an official Oreo one. So here, we try this out as well.
The more the merrier.
Damn, I always forget to bring something to drink.
Michael Martinez says, y'all the best AfterBuzz crew in the history of AfterBuzz TV. You the man, Michael. You the man.
Yes. Oh, this is tight.
Come on, the bomb's
gonna
go off.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. There it is. Perfect. All right, let's go. Grab yourself a square.
All right, that's a whole row.
Go for it. Whatever you like.
I'm not a big like chocolate person.
Wait, but you like or OG?
Not like chocolate bars. I'm gonna get like a little.
Here, we'll share some of this.
That's good.
Wow, I was hoping you would take more than that. But you didn't.
All right, well, that's all, Christine. There you go.
I'm gonna sabotage your trip.
All right. Here we go.
I don't taste the Oreo.
You tell it, you can taste like the little crunchiness of the cookie, but
this almost looks like it should taste like a Hershey cookie and cream bar when you look at the inside.
That's true.
You know?
Okay.
It's not that good, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it's,
give me back those double stuff.
I hate milk chocolate. That's all I taste.
All right, so...
Who are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, before we hop into breaking down this episode, any of you fans, Big Destination Survivor fans, that also love that we do the Oreos, and I know that's a very divisive topic there, but if anybody that's big on the Destination Survivor Oreo train... Please go back to previous episodes and just do a cut of Renee's expressions after every time she's bitten into an Oreo cookie. I just want just a cut of that.
Also, please tweet Nabisco and Oreo accounts on Twitter and let them know they should be sponsoring us. Because
that's right.
Yeah, please. This is ultimate free advertising.
Line our pockets with Oreos.
Lifetime supply of OG for Renee. Birthday cake for me.
Disgusting Oreos for Michael.
The lemon ones, right?
All right, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'll do
live chats.
All right.
Want to hear it?
So we start off here this episode. Hannah, of course, got caught last week there back at her hotel, and now she's dumped in a truck and taken off there and eventually dumped in some kind of cargo container. And that's where she spends the majority of her episode. Do you think she was going to be in there this whole entire episode, or did you think, like, Hannah's too awesome? She's, of course, going to get out by the time of the episode.
You know, at the beginning of every episode, you have the your hope is for the episode. And this episode kind of took it like this and went like this. And I was just not a fan. I know I speak for you.
Oh, yeah. I was like definitely two thumbs down right there with you. It was such a filler episode and like in the worst way. We got no new developments. And
one small one.
But I thought Hannah would have gotten out, especially because they started the opening scene with her like in there.
What new development?
Jason Atwood.
Later. But that's not like a development. That's just a situation. Like a development is when you like learn more. We didn't learn anything more. No, and nobody else learned anything more.
It's frustrating when this is like only two episodes left in the season. You think that we're going to be, this is like a runaway train towards awesomeness by the end of the season. And this one was just very like, we're just hanging out, plateauing for a while.
But we did get President Richard's son. And I will thank the writers for that. I missed him. He's been gone for a while.
You missed him? Why?
Yeah.
Because he's a really great actor.
And he cares a lot about the arts.
He cares so much about the arts.
What else has he been in, Renee?
I have no idea. Big fan.
Got it.
I liked his character.
Really? Have you tweeted that at him yet?
No.
Oh, well, you should.
I really enjoy your character. I'll make sure to get to it.
I'll say.
So I agree with you guys. This was a very kind of lackluster episode.
It kind of makes me worried that they're going to just rush the end and give us like a BS finale because they're not leaving enough breadcrumbs right now. Like last episode, we finally figure out who the traitor, the mole is, even though we don't know much about him. And I thought, great, next episode, we're going to learn much more about him. Nada.
I was so like, excited for this episode after last episode.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was like, man, they got this great high. I can't wait for this one. We're going to get more in depth. They really tease that we're going to find out a lot more about this leader or something major is going to happen with him. And all he did was a rally that was nothing.
He did kind of let some like info slip that like, I think he said something about like all the government agencies are focused on the other three locations that they have.
Well, there was a conversation between him and Whitaker.
Yeah, that was the most important convo that they had.
And the only person who heard that is now presumed dead.
Yeah. And did he send it?
It felt
What's
like
your
he,
take?
Is that what he was doing?
I don't know. That is the question.
Beep, 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 beep on the computer, but we don't know exactly what he was doing. You hope,
or who he sent it to.
Because he did heard something moving in the woods before he did that. So you'd hope he sent it somewhere. What's the point of that whole thing?
He hit some buttons to do something.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was save it or send it.
The frustrating thing is because Forrestal and Mike, when they're looking for Hannah as well, too, they say, did you reach out to Atwood? Well, he doesn't really know anything. He's been kind of iced out by her as well. When we really know he hasn't because she called him last episode and we see what he's doing with trying to switch the lapel flag pin to put a bug in there as well so he could listen to Lloyd talking.
So he's working rogue.
Yeah, but I that was so frustrating. It's like, why just...
combine efforts?
Yes, because now I feel like, you know, there's two tracks going around here. If they just would have told each other, then he could have just sent everything that he had to Forrestal and Mike right there in the woods and we'd all be set. Because I was waiting this entire episode to think, I'm waiting for somebody's email to like beep, like, oh, we got an email from somebody. And that never came this episode.
Yep.
That would be my reason to think that he didn't send it, is it would be way too easy. It would be like, wait.
Sent it to Chuck.
What?
Wait. I said maybe he sent it to Chuck. Maybe he's working with someone else. I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I was like, oh, be president. And I was like, oh, that's right. It's this show. That would be way too easy. And they probably didn't send it.
I have to mention he did, because why show us that scene and not give, without and show him doing that without having an opportunity for that information to get out somehow?
Yeah.
Ivan says he thinks he sent it. Steven says he thinks he sent it. Karen says, hope so. I'm with you, Karen. I'm on the hope so train.
Yeah. I feel like it got out. I think that's going to set the deck for, we're going to find out who got it next episode. They're going to pass it on to Mike and Forrestal, and then we'll start putting gears in motion for the big finale the 2 weeks from now. That's what I think. But that's a prediction. So anyway, Ghost, I guess we were done with the show then. We already wrapped everything. We predicted stuff.
Just right. Like that. We had our Oreos. Good to go.
That's was right. More than what the teaser for next week gave us. Like,
that teaser was
seriously.
Terrible.
It was so bad. It's like, what? And then cut over. Like, you get two emotions and that's it.
I feel like this is the trouble with conspiracy shows, is that the pace of it is, when do you start revealing stuff and keep that momentum going? And I feel like this episode did not do a good thing of keeping the momentum in a positive way for the finale.
But they've been doing a good job. The last two episodes I thought were so good, and I was so excited for this week, and then I was watching it, I'm like, what are... Every time that you're like, oh, something's gonna happen, disappointment. Every time, with every plot, this episode, like, it was a disappointment at the end.
One of the biggest things... I don't mean to hijack. They were talking, one of the biggest things also this episode is the whole situation with Speaker Hoogstraten in Congress, and that was a question that, you know, we're getting near the end, you look at what could happen next season, or are they building the foundation? And when she was having these meetings with the new congressman and kind of talks in the small meeting of 12 when she's in the investigation, saying, giving her plea, and I was like, oh, are they trying to build the foundation that she's going to work with them as speaker for next season, or be able to work with them and be able to develop this relationship? Because they've talked so long that there's been that tension, or that they don't know each other. There's the old versus the young. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, are they trying to build that relationship? And with her new position, I'm not sure about that.
I think that position is kind of come and gone, it feels like. And so I feel like now she's Secretary of Education, and so she's just kind of working more closely with President Kirkman and kind of sidestepping Congress.
I didn't like that for her character. I thought she would have still been pushing for the VP spot. Like, I thought that was just kind of like, really? That's where she's going to end up?
Yeah, because Tom made such a big deal. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to settle for this. I want to fight this.
Yeah, and he kind of hyped it like he was going to say that, and he was just like, I'm going to nominate you for Secretary of Education.
When he said that at that performance.
And we're like, excuse me? I fed you this bill. What's up? Like, what's going on? I came to collect. Like,
she's changed.
Yeah.
Very much so.
For the good, good or worse, Frank.
So tame.
Well, you know, I mean, it's
she wasn't a bulldog this episode, and that's what I didn't like. Yeah.
No, she usually... Well, yeah, she was kind of a bulldog in the sense that she did get the guy to agree to fund all that arts program in exchange for her stepping aside and resigning her seat. So
I thought that would have been her leverage to then be like, give me VP. Like, I gave you what you wanted. I've constantly been on your side.
Because he already said at the beginning of the episode that he was always going to back her for VP. So had to do the switch and make it Secretary of Education. I was like, huh?
Yeah, same.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of thrown by that.
Although, I mean, I guess she would have to be vetted and approved by the House and the Senate, correct? So, and if that's the case, if she's already kind of has this ethics thing hanging on her and she's resigning, what are the odds that she would get the nomination would pass?
That's true. But maybe for season two? Maybe after she's like, you know, did her due diligence as Secretary of Education, built back up her reputation, and then maybe gave it another try.
No, that's true. Because, I feel like next episode we need to have some talk now. If Hoogstraten's out of the picture for VP, then who is going to be the VP?
Who's going to be Speaker?
That's true. Well,
would it be Bowman?
Oh, Bowman.
Yeah.
But do you see him, or do you see this guy, this Ways and Means guy, that for some reason, I felt like weird, like all of a sudden this guy that kind of really riled up his head and was like, I'm being a roadblock this episode.
So it was interesting with the Ways and Means guy to compare that to the current landscape where you have Speaker of the House Ryan, who was the head of the Ways and Means and did not want the speakership. And I feel didn't want the speakership because the Ways and Means is very powerful. You control the purse strings. And if you're a very budget-oriented guy, which it seems like this new congressman is... that you almost want to stay in there because, as he said, I was elected for a reason. I really want to clean up the waste or do whatever, and I know the best place for me to do that is not in the leadership. It's literally in this position because they have so much control. And you look at that with Ryan. Ryan was like, I don't want the speakership. I literally don't want it. And everyone was like, well, we kind of need you to do it. And he was like, crap. Okay, if it's good to the party, whatever, I will do the speakership. But he didn't want it, and I feel like that's what this guy could do as well.
And I guess, you know, we're looking at, like, one of the best case options. I'm sure there's many other things that the Ways and Means have to deal with. But when you feel like it's funding for the arts, I feel like it's such a thing, like, you know, gosh, who would not want to see high school children, like, lose access to that kind
Don't
of stuff?
Don't get emotional on me, Frank.
No? So, but it just felt like, all right, well, why are we having this discussion with this? And I know you were... As soon as I got brought up, Michael Klaus's head just dipped onto the table and just stayed there for a moment. I just watched that.
It's too left-leaning for you.
I try to look at it from an unbiased point of view. And I talked about this last week, as I've read several articles that agree with me. It's not just me saying this. But the show, for him being a moderate... Every issue is left. Talking about immigration, talking about guns, talking about the arts, talking about mining, which he mentioned in this episode in a derogatory way. And it's like, it's, again, go middle. If you say you're middle of the road, go middle of the road. But he's not middle of the road.
He's leaning left on a lot of the stuff.
He's leaning left on a lot of things. Which is interesting, too, when you bring in Hook Stratton, who seems to be in support of a lot of this, and she's a conservative. So just the way they're framing her character as a conservative while also being in support of all these left of center policies.
But I wonder.
But again, I just think, and I know a lot of people were talking in the live chat, and I am throwing my hat in their ring of the too much politics.
Well, I'm wondering, like, what Hook Stratton's going to, like, her purpose for the rest of this season and next season. A Secretary of Education, not really a prominent role. That's something that's needed to be touched on or featured a lot. So both her and Aaron are now just going to be kind of cast off to just show up every so often for stuff.
Like, interesting. What do you do with Aaron?
Yeah. Like, are they just throwing the characters away? How are they going to be of any use at this point with her new role? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what they have in mind. I have no idea. That is something I'll be curious to see.
They really
what they
threw
do.
Us off this one, yeah. Right? Curveball.
All right, let's talk about one of my least favorite parts of this episode, and that was that was Seth and his obsession about like his haircut and photo in front of Air Force One. That whole stuff.
Why did that plot exist this episode? Also, was he trying to like impress Emily by being, oh, I wasn't on the phone with my mom. Like, I felt a weird thing with them.
This episode definitely highlighted like their nuanced relationship. Like, they're obviously very cheeky. Like, they're teasing each other and being like very playful, but like, it's not like it's romantic and it's not necessarily work related either. I don't get like why that was highlighted. It just seemed like just filler. Everything about this episode was just it's just fill time, guys.
Right? That's how I felt it was too.
Because like it's not like he's like crushing on her. He's not
but is
crushing
he?
On
are,
him.
Now that Aaron's gone, are they like, okay, new love interest?
No.
Seth.
There's no way Aaron's gone.
He's too strong of a character to just be out like that. Plus, his cousin's in Washington now, so they can't
his cousin,
deal.
They which
can't
is get very interesting
him.
That so, he relied on her.
Yeah, great we saw her again. That was great.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
That's my biggest thought right now. I'm posing that to the live chat. I'm asking you guys here, what thoughts on what Aaron, what his future? Because he's the one who I most care about out of all that, of what's going on.
Team Aaron over here.
I stood up for him when everyone else on this panel thought he was bad.
Okay.
Mic drop.
Oh, my God.
Got it?
That's so
Quality. Oh, boy. Didn't even mean to do that.
Unless he decides to leave Hook Stratton and go on and work for somebody else, but I don't know who that'd be. Wouldn't be...
to keep him on the series. Who can he work for next?
Steven says it's one step forward and two steps back with this show. Steven agreeing.
Like a dance move.
Well, would you Christine. Because like one thing we never saw this whole episode, and it was only touched on in the conversation between Lloyd and our mole guy, was Abe Leonard. I mean, after all the drama and intrigue last week, there was just nothing about that at all. And we do see the trailers for next week where it does leak that the finally article does come out, but you still feel like...
He's working on the article, Frank. Okay. He doesn't have time to be in a TV show. He's working on the article.
My bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. Rob Morrow is actually writing that from scratch. That's why it's taking so long. Got it. Okay.
No, but I don't fully hate the idea that they gave his character a little break. Thought it was good. I mean, because he was really featured the past couple weeks. So then featured in, I don't think, a good way of as a bad guy.
Oh, but tell me, would you rather have seen...
So taking a week off, and then maybe next week they could come back with the spin of he's a little good. You take a week off from him, So people forget about the bad that he's doing, or if he's overstepping his bounds, people forget about that. He comes back. He can turn around and be a little more of a good guy.
But I feel like at this point in the season, you got to be always ratcheting it up every episode. And so would you rather see Abe Leonard this episode doing stuff, or do you want to see more about Seth talking about his haircut? And I got to get a photo on the stairs. Can I wave? I don't know, Mom.
It was very the whole episode was very much relationships, even looking at the first family of talking about the kids and Camp David. And but I don't think a lot of people want to see that.
Not at this point in the season. I mean, you've been dangling this.
I know someone doesn't, but I mean...
I mean, can we just get to the juice? Like,
all right, let's do it.
I'm just over all the other stuff.
Well, all right, so we do have Renee's girl, a boyfriend.
My boyfriend?
Yes, President Richmond's son, Tyler. Yeah. He's here, and he does have a little special heart-to-heart, which I know Christine was, and I was baffled by why this scene existed in this episode.
It was so awkward.
Of her and Alex having this heart-to-heart outside the White House. About
why did that exist? Oh, I love my favorite part of that where he was like, how are you? And instead of just being a normal person talking to a normal acquaintance and saying, good, how are you? She's like, let me unleash all my problems
for
on
real.
You.
The kids, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. And she looks so, like, distraught. I'm like, do you even know him like that? Like, where did this come from?
What if we did that to acquaintances and, like, coworkers? Like, well, I'm actually having a pretty bad week. Thanks for asking.
And there's that flicker in the person's eyes that asks that, like, oh, no, they're really doing this. No, I just was trying to be very superficial.
Yeah. Just say I'm good,
just
thanks.
Say good. Yeah. Yeah.
So that leads Alex to want to have a talk with Tom. Are we doing the right thing, sending Penny and Leo
bye.
Yeah, up to Camp David. Should we have them near us? And there, no definitive answer by the end of the episode.
No definitive answer. I guess it dawned on me for the first time this episode that they are alone at Camp David. And she is back in Washington.
They're not in school.
Where I guess... Well, I mean, they're in school, but as far as, like, they come... School is only so many hours in the day.
24/7.
Who's, like, their guardian or parental figure that is taking care of them? Or, like, do they have any family up there? Is it literally two kids and a bunch of Secret Service agents? Like, how would it that be for a kid to be raised in an environment like that? I don't think that would be positive for them in any means. And how often are the parents making it over there?
Yeah, well, Tom has only made it one episode so far that we've seen. Yeah, that was it.
I don't know. It's like their conversation kind of centered around, like, they never had a definitive answer because, I mean, I don't know why, but obviously the sentiment was like, he's like, not yet. We can't bring them here yet because the threat hasn't been neutralized that they're trying to fight. But at the same time, we're not doing anything to neutralize that threat. It just keeps coming back to the fact that nothing is happening.
Yep. Well,
you know, I have to admit, just to jump back with Tyler and the whole announcement of Secretary of Education, the way that scene was setting up, I was honestly expecting Tom to announce Tyler as his nominee for Secretary of Education. Because when he said Hoke Stratton, I was like, huh? Really?
Really? What? You thought it was going to be Tyler?
Because, like, Hoke Stratton, other than helping get this funding passed, we've never seen her show any sort of inclination towards education or something. And at least Tyler, I mean, he's, you know, working with these kids. I felt like, all right, well, I guess he's just doing this, and it's President Richmond's son, so who would not want to allow him to do this? But
Do you think that her going for education is a power trip?
I don't think so.
Because
a power trip by him?
No, by her. Because it seemed very early in the season that it was like she's gunning for that presidency, or then she's gunning for the VP. And then we think that she, does this graceful thing in backing out. And I guess maybe it was more of Kirkman wanting her for the education.
It was 100% Kirkman. She gave up. That was defeat for her.
I didn't even think, like, but she really looked like she wanted it. Even when she went up, like, and said yes, she was like, I'm honored.
Thanks.
Not really. Yeah, it didn't, I don't know.
Not
it didn't
your
seem
vice
genuine
president.
To me.
Karen thought Tyler, too. Frank?
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. I was getting scared being all out in that limb by myself. Thank you for joining me. It's just, I don't know, with Hoke Stratton, I mean, I guess as they were talking, especially with Aaron, is the perception is everything when he left the Oval Office. So if Hoke Stratton was just feeling like, I don't know, in terms of what happens, you know, 3 years from now in terms of the next election, is she going to run? Does this ethics committee meeting?
Is she going to run for
president?
President?
Because she, I mean, at the beginning of the
I think
series,
once you're in the inner circle, you can't, you don't run. There's no precedent. for that of anyone who is a secretary of something running against the man they're working with.
True. I guess you have to wait for 8 years.
Yeah, you would have to wait. So that takes her. I mean, that was a question that we had earlier on in the series of will she run in 3 years or 4 years or 8 years? Or I guess it would be. I don't know if we've established how soon into the term. Well, no, I guess, yeah, he did get sworn in. But I guess they never really answered that of this is 4 years begin from that point.
Or is he just finishing out
Richmond's? I think he's finishing out Richmond's term. But we never really established how long that was.
Like so Lyndon Johnson took over from Kennedy and then got his own presidency after that. So, yeah, I would imagine
it'd
be that same deal.
Kirkman could serve like 10 years or max 11 years, technically.
I guess he could. So, well, he'd be our new FDR, guys. If the show goes that long, I'll be sad. Especially if we're talking about this same conspiracy.
I'm not hosting this anymore.
I can't do it. Also, they were building up, someone brought up in the live chat, Russia. Another thing that they really built up, and I was like, oh, he's going to go to this NATO meeting. There's going to be something happening there.
Yeah, what happened with that?
And it just fizzled out, or there was not a lot of talk. Next episode, it seems like he's leaving.
Yeah, because by the end of the episode, they're all heading to Air Force One to take off to Toronto for this. So I feel like that'll be next episode. Because I think that's when it'll release out with the article about the bombing.
They'll be abroad while this whole threat materializes, and then he's going to be in a pickle and can't do anything about it.
Oh, he's going to be on the national stage, though, when the article comes out.
That's true, so everybody's going to know.
Lots of press. And how will that be impacted with other countries in NATO talking about putting down the weapons and terrorism?
And, I mean, as we just saw from the trailers, is that he can't really say that that article's wrong because he does know that there's some kind of conspiracy that does exist. So then how do you go and tell the public that, too?
Time to be a non-denial. There's a lot of things that could happen. I don't know that that is correct or...
Can you put on his glasses and do that?
I don't do the impression like you.
That's true. No one does it quite like Christine.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the fond farewell for our character that didn't get much love in this whole entire series, but Mr. Jason Atwood.
Yeah. Interesting. Did you see him getting shot?
I didn't see him getting shot, but once I saw the deer, I knew that it wasn't over. Because I'm like, it was just like foreshadowing. Like, come on.
It's like what they do in horror movies. They like, you're like, oh, what am I scared of? What is it going to be? And then like just a door creaks. And you're like, oh, it's just a door. And then the murderer comes out.
I thought he'd at least get into a fight, perhaps, and make it out alive. I didn't expect to get just like quick double tap and that's it.
And just with the silencer, man. Just
Yeah, that was it. Catalan does not mess around, man. Double tap and you're done. But do we like where Jason ended his arc here on the show? Do you feel like or did he kind of make up for everything that happened in the beginning part of the season?
No, why do they keep killing characters? Like, characters that I think are getting somewhere, like, oh, yeah, this is getting somewhere, it's moving, and then, no, let's just kill him off. McLeish.
Yeah, you really thought that Atwood, after the way that he'd been treated and his son being killed, that he'd have a chance for some kind of redemption at the end of the season.
Nope. That was, like, his only purpose from that point on, though, after the fact, because he was, like, depressed and didn't want to do anything, and Hannah kind of, like, pulled him out of it to help her on her mission, but that's it. Like, he really didn't serve any other purpose.
But maybe he was wearing a bulletproof vest, and we'll find out next episode, because he did shoot him twice in the chest.
With the squibs, so I'm going to put some squibs in there, too, just in case I do get shot.
Just in case.
People in the live chat were not too happy about it. Ivan said he was caught off guard. Karen says that she was not happy about it. Steven didn't see that coming, and he said, I should have. Michael Martinez, rest in peace, Atwood. Yeah, I thought it was going to be, I knew he was going to get caught or something was going to happen, and I was hoping that it would be more along the lines of what's happening with Hannah, where they're caught. But realistically, he would have got shot. So from that perspective, I'm glad they kept it real and didn't just keep dangling it.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, now we have him, so now we have two prisoners, and what's going to happen, and where are they going? And you're like, just kill one of them. You know what's going
to
happen.
The only thing they could have done in that situation is probably used him to get some information out of her, like, by torturing him or whatever the case may be. That's really it.
I really just want to know where the information went. Did he send it?
I'm sure. And, we haven't seen Chuck in the longest time. So, I mean, I know his place blew up.
That.
But, I mean, he's got to be hanging out somewhere in D.C. Yeah, I'm sure it probably went, because I feel like that's the only other inside person, other person that he trusts other than Hannah.
How long do you think they're going to dangle that over our head?
I think next episode. We'll get it next episode.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's got to set us up for the season finale. They got to get that information so they can act on it in the season finale.
No, I say it comes out season finale.
Really?
If it comes out, I say it comes out season finale to dangle it for next season.
Oh my god! If we have to go a whole another episode like this, where things are just kind of up in the air,
no,
this would drive me bonkers.
Mm-mm.
Well, no, the next episode is going to be with Hannah
and Abe
finding out, and Abe in Toronto. All
right,
they're not going to add in another major storyline of.
Don't say that.
Of secrets coming out. Yeah. The secret coming out next episode has to be with Abe Leonard. They're not going to add in a whole other storyline where the president is like, actually, now we know who it is because we have all this.
That's true. It's Lloyd. It's Paul Lloyd. There we go. Well, as we talked about about presidents, a former president is trying to help Seth out because he really wants to get that picture taken as he's boarding Air Force One.
Can we just talk about the fact he never gave Seth's phone back? Like, nope. Literally, Seth was like, thanks, and then walked into the plane.
Renee, you would have been like, can I see that?
Can you? What did you say?
Can you actually get up higher? I'm not good from a low stance. No, I was. I don't know if anybody else caught this. I literally laughed out loud.
Loudly.
Too loud out in the AfterBuzz studios. And I don't know if anybody caught this. So when the former president was taking the picture, he had his hand, literally, he was like, okay, smile on three. One, two, three. The finger was right over the lens. Did anybody on the live chat catch this?
Maybe that'll be a joke next week. Like, you didn't even get the picture.
That's an important picture for Mom. She wants to see the waving.
But, you know, it was weird because he's looking at the screen, so he would see his big old finger in there. And, like, he still took the picture anyway. But, he told Seth when he took the camera, he's like, I know how to work these things.
I know how to work.
Sounds like such a dad.
Typical old person.
That finger just barking in there. So I can't wait to see what happens with Seth and his mom and this photo. It'll be fantastic.
Can't wait to see what happens next week.
It's not for Instagram. It's just for
It's not for Instagram. But surprise. I mean, I guess, you know, you can't, I'm sure any of us in that same situation, if you're working with the president that closely and you get a chance to go on Air Force One, you are going to want to get a photo.
I got a selfie with him, though.
Yeah, all joking aside, I appreciate the relationships that we've seen and just the lightheartedness sometimes where you're, too often I think we think of these politicians and we think they're serious all the time and this strict by the book, we're getting on the plane, we're going to this, we're doing this. But it's nice to be able to see, and I'm sure some of this does take place where there is some playful banter like we saw between Emily, and it's nice to see. Man, it breaks it up a little bit.
It's relatable.
It's relatable.
Right?
Who would want that picture on Air Force One?
There you go.
I guess so.
I would want it with Obama.
Makes it more
would
realistic.
You, well, I know if Mike was going on Air Force One, there would be like at least a 6 to 8 week prep for that where it's just cut the carbs.
Pick out the outfit.
Bump up the cardio.
Haircut timeout.
The hair would be so pristine.
Look,
like,
I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it once, so you got to make it worth it.
What are you wearing?
Oh, yeah. I get like 20 shots. No, 20
you,
shots.
I giving you a fist bump.
Oh. I'm cool. I'm hip, guys.
All right. Real quick, because why not? What would you wear if you're on Air Force One? Are you suit and tying it?
Oh, you got to go suit and tie it.
You have to? You don't have
vest.
To.
Vest. Vest, open jacket.
Vest, open jacket. All right. Tie, no tie. Bow tie?
No, regular tie, navy suit. Lighter colored shirt, blue or white.
Oh, all right. Christine?
Yeah, Christine, what would you wear?
Yeah, what would you wear?
A really nice dress.
Really nice?
Obviously.
Like you're going to the prom?
Definitely not.
My old prom dress.
My old prom dress was like teal, so definitely not.
Just to get up and just, you know, sashaying your way up the stairs.
No, I'd wear a really nice, probably a navy dress as well, looking really presidential and important.
You can go navy or red. Those are like the colors that are like.
Yeah, red, America. I would slay a red dress. So
yeah, you would.
Maybe that. Definitely a red.
There
what
you
about
go.
You, Renee?
I'd probably go for a red or navy dress. A really nice one. Not my prom dress.
It's like,
I'd go for the suit and tie. I think that look would be quite
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could be mad twins, twinning.
Look at that.
Pantsuit?
One of the the best questions and discussions ever to be had on the Designated Survivor.
Wait, Frank. What would you wear? This hoodie or
Speedos and a half shirt.
Damn.
That's it, man. I would do that. There you go. And I'd have a picture of Michael Klaus on there on my on my half shirt.
Oh, that's right. It was gonna be someone else.
Thank you, Steve. There you go. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this was kind of a rather lackluster episode. I feel like we've all feeling that.
There's one more thing to talk about. I guess it gets into predictions of everything that's going on with Hannah. Where you think Hannah's going?
She's on a boat. She's on a boat. And it's going somewhere with a bunch of cargo on it.
She's in the middle of the ocean. I'd be like, jump, girl, jump. But she was, that's like my nightmare. Open water, being stuck on this boat with an open water. Where do you go?
So do we think the whole ship is controlled by the conspiracy?
Of course.
Yes. I think it's actually full of explosives going to one of their targets.
Oh, that's a good prediction.
And that's probably how they're keeping her, keeping an eye on her.
Do you imagine it's an international target?
Possibly.
Because I can't think of anything domestically on the coastline.
Aren't they going to Toronto?
You can't get that
NATO
kind of
summit?
No, there's no way to get that kind of a boat. I mean, well, there is, but you're looking at the logistics of what we saw. It was definitely ocean. There's channels that you can get from the Atlantic to the Toronto area, but it's like rivers and small. You wouldn't see that kind of a cargo ship.
Maybe it's, well, they're in D.C. Maybe it's going up the coast to New York. I don't know. Somewhere important for sure.
Yeah.
I think.
That's
my prediction.
Or just out in the middle of nowhere to get her away.
That's what I think. I think they're just not going anywhere. I think they're just keeping her out at sea so she can't go anywhere until they need her for whatever they're using her for.
Well, it feels like, are they setting her up to be some kind of patsy? So she'll take the fall for whatever they do on that vessel. The wheels are turning slowly on this. And all we know is from what Lloyd was talking about with our mole is that even if they don't control the presidency, they'll still control the country after whatever happens with everything that they're planning. So whatever that means, I guess we can talk about that as we
pick
some
stuff.
Well,
I think last week I said this. I think that's one of the things that sets up for next season is we don't know who is in what position. Obviously, it's not just Whitaker. If they can get a man on the inside like Whitaker, they can get a man on the inside in a lot of places. And I think that's what they're going to focus on maybe for season two is who else is involved in this at whatever level.
Well, one thing that Forstall and Mike tell the president that they finally have a way to figure out who may be their inside leak is that they got to find out who deleted all these files because there's very few files that mention anything about Browning Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can figure out who had this the bona fides to be able to delete those classified files, that'd be their inside man. But he does say it's going to take a long time, but it's going to guarantee us an answer. How long do you think it takes for them to go through those and get that information? Please not be a summer. Please let it be just 7 days. Please let it be 7 days.
Season two?
No! That's it. No! Oh, 7 days from now.
That's got to be, again, that's got to be the season finale. When it comes out, possibly with Atwood, who we sent this to, comes out about Whitaker.
Or do you imagine it comes out at the end of next week's episode? Right there at the end, they figure out who it is.
Maybe.
And then the final episode, they get to deal with it.
That I would be okay with. But I swear, if they make us wait until season two.
And do you want to see lots of scenes of Mike and Forrestal searching through files and computers?
They're so brawny and
maybe
smart.
Some Leo
and just
scenes
reduced to a desk.
Speaking of Mike, one quick, because I know you hate Mike. You don't trust him within an inch of your life.
I don't hate Mike. I thought he was too nice, and that's why he was going to be bad. Because it's usually the characters that are so good and really care, and then they're evil.
But he wasn't. But he wasn't bad. He was good.
But we really stressed
it
this episode where Tom says, you know what, I don't want you to go to Toronto with me to this conference because we're spreading ourselves too thin. So you pick your guys. If you trust them, I trust them. Did you feel like we're putting too much of a pin on the fact that Mike is not going with Tom?
They definitely emphasize that for a reason. I mean, I don't know that he'll have anything to do with the conspiracy because I still think he's good, but...
But the fact that he's not there is going to cause him some problems.
Call Tom problems?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Why don't we predict it? Let's predict some stuff. Why don't we just do it, guys?
Just do it. Get the lights going.
Do it. There you go. We got Christine getting some booty call texts.
From AfterBuzz.
Oh.
Hey-o.
They love me.
They love you on the live chat, so it wouldn't be surprising.
There you go. And Renee, you've been writing down tons of predictions.
Yeah, I have a lot of my predictions. I think that next episode, Hannah is going to try to take down everyone on the boat, but then she's going to realize that they are going to be like in contact with the conspiracy people. Like, what are they calling them? Don't they have like a name for them now? Or they just we're just
the
calling
ones that
them?
Pax Americana.
Well, Pax Americana.
Whatever.
The
they're going to be like in contact,
Americana,
and then they're going to be like, "Hello, guys, are you there? Are you there?" And then they're going to know something's up, and then they're going to still get her.
Damn, so the end of Hannah.
What? No.
No, I don't think that's what you're saying.
No. They'll just, like, keep her out on the boat, like, well, now you don't get food.
And I have not worn heels, and I've not been in a life-and-death situation, but I would feel like as she got out of the cargo container, the first thing I do is I kick off those heels.
Was she wearing heels?
She was wearing big old heels as she came out of that cargo container.
Why was she wearing heels?
She was
heels?
Wearing, like,
she's
kitten
boss.
Heels.
She's a boss. You know, she didn't have a weapon. You can kick someone with one of those heels. Digs in.
Well, she did get a weapon from that dude, right? She took the gun.
She did take the gun.
No, there was no gun. She just took the keys.
She just took the keys.
I mean, eventually he's going to come too. Like, she didn't kill him, you know.
No, she just injected him with that
knockout
stuff.
Finish him off.
Yeah. No, I see her staying on the boat for the rest of the season.
Yeah, whoa. I can see that.
Great.
Which I'm not saying I'm a fan of, but I see it happening. Another prediction, again, that I say the information comes out in the final episode. From Atwood. I'm hoping, I like what you said, and I'm going to give you props for this, of who we sent it to. I'll let you talk about that. But I see that coming out in the final episode, not next episode, because I see next episode is very Toronto. There could be a fallout with the information from Abe Leonard. I don't see that going well with Russia. They're going to be upset because you go to a bad situation next episode to then maybe a good situation of actually finding out some information in the season finale. There you go.
Say it plays that like you want, and mm-hmm. you don't really find anything out until the last episode, and it leads you over into second season. Would mm-hmm. would you be happy with that? Would you guys be happy with that? Or do you want a lot of the questions answered before the season ends?
Before the season ends.
Well, you always want
the
cliffhanger. Things. You always want that, but you realize that the show, to make you watch next season and to make you excited about it, they leave you on the edge.
Yeah, but they have to give you enough information where you're still excited to watch for next season. Like, they have to give you something and then still have a cliffhanger.
And not frustrated over the stuff that they haven't answered mm-hmm. yet.
Yeah.
That's been, like, my one gripe with this show. Like, they don't make me care enough about certain things, and then they rip it from you, or they leave you hanging, and I know, like you said, for TV value and to get people interested, I'm sure they have to leave us with something, but I personally will not be okay with not getting more answered this season. Like, I think at this point you need to, like, salvage your viewers. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but
yeah, that's true. You need something new, not just from what they know, they being Kirkman or whoever, versus what we know, which is what Atwood knew. I think you need more information,
like a new piece of information.
Completely
agreed.
Same.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we get some of it this next episode. So it would be great. I feel like, but Abe's going to write himself a story. I mean, we definitely know that he's just being fed a bunch of stuff from our mole man.
Yeah.
our mole man.
Mole.
Sure. I feel like they put too much of a point on Mike not being with Tom in Toronto. So I feel like that's going to come into play somehow. Mm-hmm. So somehow Mike should have been there to help.
I think it's good that he'll actually still be at the White House, because, like, I'm going to stand by my prediction that Atwood sent that information to Chuck, and maybe they'll link up and figure out a way to.
What? I don't know who's they is going to link up.
I'm sorry,
I don't
Mike.
Think. Oh, okay. Mike.
And
Mike and Chuck.
Forstall?
Mike and Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that, the new triple team. Then they'll go and try to find Hannah on this cargo ship.
Michael Martinez says, "Hope they reveal a huge motive about the conspiracy. It's not that cool having Landon and Homeboy on the face of the conspiracy." Karen says, "Finish this off and give us another conspiracy to wait for." I'm with you, Karen.
Same.
Would you really want a whole new conspiracy next
probably
season?
Not, actually, that was a
but
thing.
Something else, just something different. But it's not going to happen, guys. We have, like, we've just touched the surface with this. You know, we need, like, more.
I'm also curious to see how this season ends with Kirkman's character. Like, does he come full circle as a president? Like, I just want to see how they leave him, because that'll dictate how season two goes, like, the type of president that he is, the type of decisions that he's going to make, because I felt like his character got really, like, a lot stronger. And then in this episode, mm-hmm. we kind of saw his, like, you know, I guess he was humanized again, like, oh, like, really distraught about what's going on and not really sure what to do, so I'm curious what his decision is going to be in this crunch time in this final episode, and how that dictates what happens from here on out, because we know that there's a new threat gunning for his seat as president, and just that power in general. So I think how this season ends and the vibe that he gives off will say a lot about how things play out. Like, if he's ends out on a strong note and neutralizes the threat, or just cowers to all these things coming his way. I'm just curious.
Well, and that is one thing we didn't talk about, is the scene between Tom and Alex when he comes back and she says, well, I could just see how you're just carrying everything. I can see it on your face.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you can't tell me everything, but you know, there's got to be something you can tell me. And he just kind of makes allusions to the Hannah situation, because this is after he's found out that she's been abducted. I was thinking, like, well, do you tell your wife that when you really know you can't tell her that too much about that, because it leads into the bigger stuff she can't know? But I was like, well, you've got the whole thing with Hoogstraten. That's something you could at least talk about that doesn't really, it's not going to violate anything, or like she can know about that stuff. But he chose not to tell her anything about that, if at least unload something. But I feel like that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I mean, if they continue with these, like, three pillars before, like we said, of like the conspiracy, the presidency, the family, or the, I forgot how you phrased it last mm-hmm. time, but I see that as being part of the family arc, where maybe him and Alex start to grow apart. You know, she already brought up the fact that the kids will be growing up on their own, just how their family is strained by everything, because it's not going to get any easier. There's only going to be more conspiracy and more drama happening. So mm-hmm. how their family tackles it, how he tackles it as a person. And, you know, maybe Alex's character as First Lady becoming a more prominent figure, and not just being like a sounding board for Kirkman, maybe being stepping up and having a larger voice next season, since Hoogstraten is kind of being put in the background. True. Like, I still want that strong female character in there. So, I mean, we have Emily, but...
I thought there was a few episodes this season with Alex that she really stepped up, and I like
sure.
that. And I feel like she's kind of dialed back, and I was like, I don't like this kind of version of Alex. Maybe she'll have that affair with Tyler we've all been hoping for, right, Renee?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
That would be in such poor taste. Feel bad.
Yeah. No?
All right. So weird.
Three hours left of the season.
3 hours or only two? Is it?
Yeah,
it's
a double episode, the last.
Is it? Oh, boy. All right.
Everything
are we
going
to have
read.
A longer after show, guys?
Let's. Oh, boy.
10 to midnight.
Oh, man. Break it down every single second.
Oh, every so frame. Many Oreos.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, we Oreo need to do intermission. Big for that.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, we need a giant glass together. Of milk and just dunk them all in there.
That's 1 week
sounds
before my trip.
Unsanitary.
Oh, damn. Well, you don't have to take part.
Well, he does have to take part. Face. We'll just have to we'll use restraint.
No, we won't.
Appreciate
we don't
that.
Have to do all that. But we'll do all something right. fun with the Oreos.
Yeah, if, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any thoughts about what we should do in terms of Oreos for that double stuffed season finale.
That was so good.
There you go. please tweet at us and let us know. But in the meantime, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Designated Survivor After Show. But the fun doesn't stop here. It just gets started. You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. I know it makes Michael Klaus's night when he's able to just see all your comments flying right by his eyes. If you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Renee, where can they find you?
You guys can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel, and check out my new blog post, How to Only Fall for Emotionally Unavailable Men, at sextinginthecity.com.
Emotionally Unavailable Men?
Is that about...
They're all over
You'll
LA.
Have to read it. Yeah, come seriously. On. That's the thing.
So if you guys want to follow me after the shows, you can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at TheOnlyMC. Again, as Frank said, thank you so much to everyone who joined us in the live chat. Ivan, Michael, Edward, Steven, Corey, Karen, so many people were so very appreciative. It makes our show much more fun. Tell your friends. We'll be back next week.
Awesome. And you guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. And you can check me out here tomorrow night on AfterBuzz at 10 p.m. Sorry. We have a very special guest on Scandal, and I know all you ABC fans will love it.
But you know who's not going to enjoy it are the Oreo fans, because she just chugs
I'll be
that
having
wine. Boo to the wine.
The only one who thinks that.
That's right. No, I boo that wine. Boo it. I boo it. I boo it. Folks, you can like me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll see you next week for another episode of the Designated Survivor After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Adios.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.